This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick for the latest from the markets. Nick, good afternoon. I hope you're well.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
And of course, you're gearing up for a long weekend with the July the 4th celebrations.
That's right. Going to spend some time at the lake. It'll be nice.
And not forgetting, the United States are playing a crucial match in the last 16 of the World Cup. So plenty to look forward to. Are you jumping on the football bandwagon yet, or is it still soccer where you're from?
Well, it's still soccer where I'm at, and this will be one of the times where I actually pay attention to it. So it's quite a rare occurrence here. We've got a special holiday, watch some soccer. It'll be good.
It's football, but never mind. I will be testing you when we next meet next week. Let's talk about the latest US jobs numbers. Of course, it is a Thursday, but because of the public holiday tomorrow, we've got the non-farm payroll numbers early, and they are actually lower than expected.
That's right. And actually breaking a three-month streak for jobs. The last three reported numbers for the non-farm payroll have been exceeding expectations and pretty sizably at that. This one definitely broke the trend here because not only did we miss expectations by a significant margin here, Johnny, we're looking at a 57,000 added to the U.S. economy in the month of June. Forecasts were for 114. And if you remember in what I said yesterday on the podcast, we talked about Scott Bessent kind of hyping up these jobs numbers. That's certainly not the greatest look here because not only did the jobs number come in weaker than expected, they actually revised the previous number, which was a blockbuster standout report. They revised that down from 172,000 down to 129. So this was certainly a soft report in terms of the headline figure. That being said, average hourly earnings kept in line with expectations, 0.3% growth month over month on that side of things. But certainly a blemish to the jobs report statistics we've recently been getting. If you remember earlier on in the week, we also did get JOLTS job openings. Those were solid. So it's not all necessarily bad because unemployment rate also ticked lower to 4.2%. Unemployment claims came in pretty much in line with expectations at 215,000. So nothing red flag, major alarm bells there in the unemployment claims. But certainly a slower hiring period in June, and especially slower than what we had been comping against the last 3 months, which had been a string of stronger reported jobs figures. And certainly, just to add a little bit of context here, we're going into midterms. We're looking at a circumstance in which the Federal Reserve had been floating the importance. We spoke yesterday about Kevin Warsh's importance of fighting inflation, keeping Fed independence. This actually helps in some ways in the idea of the Fed potentially being on watch for a rate hike later this year. If the jobs market slows, if it stalls out in terms of its recent strength versus expectations, we could be looking at a different circumstance for the second half this year. Maybe there's not rate hikes coming. Maybe we just stay on pause for a little while. And I've also heard some speculation that perhaps this recent conversation that Kevin Warsh has upheld the potential need to fight inflation or to really focus double down on inflation, perhaps is a little bit of central bank jawboning. We know that this is a very standard kind of practice, there's speculation on all sides. A lot of people had kind of anticipated Kevin Warsh to be much more dovish. He has been coming out much more on the hawkish side, and perhaps these jobs figures will help to squander a little bit of the fears, I suppose, of higher rates later this year.
So, Nick, how have markets reacted to this news?
Yes, so there's been a little bit of a pop here in certain parts of the market, specifically rate-sensitive stuff, which tells me kind of where I'm going with this thought process. You have the dollar index down 0.72%. That is the biggest one-day drop that we've had in the dollar index in many months, actually going as far back as in April when the dollar was selling off quite sharply. The dollar index has been really strong in recent months following stronger than expected jobs reports and inflation on the rise. But a bit of that story is shifting, it seems, with the dollar index down, like I said, 0.7%. That's a pretty big move lower for a one-day move on the DXY. When we also look at equities, equities are higher today. They are enjoying this idea of lower probabilities being factored in for rate hikes later on this year. If we look at the precious metals world, gold is seeing a pop to the upside, up at the time of recording this, 2.5%, give or take, 41.30 on spot price here today. We also have silver moving higher by over 4% at the time of recording, around 61.70 per ounce there. Oil remains low, which is also helping with the inflation story. So it does seem like in terms of, you know, how commodities and equities are moving, there is a bit of optimism that perhaps rates will not be moving higher later this year. At least probabilities for that are diminishing. We also have the biggest up-day move in Bitcoin in a little while. We're back above 60,000, which has been in a really strong downtrend in 2026. Perhaps a little bit of excitement there in terms of the rate story. And yields, obviously telling perhaps the most clear example of what's gone on here. The two-year yield is down 1% today. The 10-year yield is about flat. The 20 about flat. The 30 about flat. So longer-term expectations have not changed too much. But in the short term, and that is what, of course, markets are teeing off on today, you have the two-year yield softening up a little bit, which has been in a really persistent overall upward trend in recent times. So certainly risk assets enjoying this. And perhaps one story we need to keep an eye on is what's gone on with the Bank of Japan or the Ministry of Finance in Japan. The dollar yen is having its biggest one-day drop since April 30th, where we saw a lot of yen intervention, or yen intervention as they call it, which was a 3% drop one day on the dollar yen exchange rate. Today's move is down 1%, which is a pretty sizable one. And we are now coming back into contact for the chartists in the audience. That 160 level on dollar yen was a critical level of past resistance. We'll see how price reacts as we come down to it potentially once more. We're not quite there, but if we do get down to that point, I'll be curious to see how things react. The Bank of Japan has been seeing the yen significantly weaken in recent weeks and months and even really years. But specifically today, we are seeing a pop in the Japanese yen off of the back of a weaker dollar. Perhaps there is a little bit of play here from the Bank of Japan wanting to get that exchange rate back under control. We know that they are unhappy and have said as much about the exchange rate being 160 plus on the dollar yen, or even near that area, causes pressure for them. If you think about it, their currency depreciating very quickly. This is a country that, you know, imports a lot of goods and services. And if their currency is diminishing greatly while the rest of the world's currencies or products are getting more expensive on a relational basis to them, that is an uncomfortable circumstance and can also cause inflation domestically. So they're not super happy with where the yen is trading. And so that is something that I think currency traders will keep an eye on. And this is, by the way, why the yen, or maybe one of the reasons why the yen, is one of the more volatile currencies in the pack.
Now, as I said, of course, it's a short working week for you guys on the other side of the Atlantic. But what should we look out for in the days to come, particularly next week?
Yes, so next week we do have more follow-through information on the ISM services PMIs. We did get manufacturing PMIs, which came in a little bit softer than expected yesterday. So we'll get that Monday, July 6th, if we're looking out further than that. On Tuesday, we've got the Bank of England's Governor Bailey speaking, which is going to be highly anticipated. He's been a bit more on the dovish side, so I'm curious to see if that continues. We'll also hear from New Zealand's central bank on Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday, we have FOMC meeting minutes. Thursday, unemployment claims as per usual. And finally, on Friday, we'll get some CAD employment statistics to end out the week.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Nick. Have a great long weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by OM.